Okay, are we ready? Did anybody do the homework today? Did you sit down and did you read Galatians? As an answer to the question, why did you quit? Why did you go back? Why did you turn to this other guy? Why did you do that? Paul answers the questions why you shouldn't do that in Galatians. So what we're doing tonight, this morning and tonight, you got lost. You mean you don't know about eternal security yet? After all that you've been through, you got lost again? When am I going to get you to figure out you can't get lost? Once you're saved, you can't get lost. Oh, well. That's because, you know, the painter spent most of the time painting the walls while they listen. Anyway. Well, I forgot I asked you. Just, I wanted to see if you're there. That was good. So we're going through. Yeah, there we go. And let's see. So to help John, we can have white cotton so he can make sure that he doesn't smoke a cigarette while he's doing it. Peter can provide the food. Brian and Adriana can provide the entertainment. Moonfixer can paint the room when it's ready. And Bob, you can bring those steaks. Man, do we miss your steaks over here. We just do. And Patience, you can bring your harp and play along with the harp stuff. And Mark, and you can make sure it's being recorded properly. Yeah, we still got a team there just waiting. We got a team here. Always have had a team. We just kind of got lost again, huh? There we go. Adriana, you can be the babysitter now that Patience has been the babysitting age. You can be the babysitter for all the families that come with children. Now, remember when we quit doing the nursery? Ladies, they're your kids, not ours. You take care of your own kids. Nobody in the Bible says we have to provide kids, place for your kids to play. Then I started to realize that all the women that wanted to do the nursery because they didn't want to hear the sermons. I says, no way. Half of my sermons are to you ladies. You better get up here. Forget the kids. So we shut down the nursery and everything seemed fine once in a while. I don't remember anybody having to feed any little kiddies upstairs. Must have been somebody, but anyway, now we got the video going, don't we? Camera's over there. Hi, camera. So what we did this morning is you just get into your Bible concordance and you type in a question mark. And you pick the book you want to do and you find all the questions that are in that book. Now this is interesting. Corinthians and Romans are full of questions. Especially Corinthians. Tons of questions. Well, what's he doing? He's going after these people that are Demas followers. When you choose somebody out, sometimes you have to ask him a lot of questions. Why'd you do this? What'd you do this for? Don't you know that? All kind of stuff. Then we get into Romans, he asks questions because he's teaching a lot of stuff. But you get into Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, there may be one question in those books. He's just teaching the straight facts and the joys of the risen Savior. So it's kind of an interesting approach here. And so tonight what I thought we would do, because I figured we didn't do what you were asked to do this morning, we got to the last question. So here's a look at the questions we went through this morning. These are questions that people ask. And the answer is right there in the King James Bible. Does it need to be preached? Does it need to be flatterized? Extenuously, whatever. But the answers are right there. And if people would just read the answers, then we're fine. But they don't. Question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, read verse 2, 3, and 4, 5 to 14. There's your answer. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law? There's your answer right after that. We did, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, the whole world has heard the Great Commission. It says, yes, verily their sound went into all the earth and their words into the ends of the world. So the Great Commission is done with. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. We went through the quick thing about judgment, and the judgment that we're not supposed to do is to a person, a Christian, weak in the faith. We're supposed to judge them. How do they know what to do? But somebody who's tried and true in the Christian belief, and they've been around long enough, read their Bibles, lived their life long enough, and all that stuff, we can judge them. We're supposed to, because if we judge them that they're not following Paul's doctrine, we're supposed to pull away from them. stuff like that. Then another question, Romans chapter 2, was, then thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? I know people that think that because God isn't striking them dead, then there's no such thing as God's judgment. Then the same thing on the other half. People are doing good stuff, and the right stuff, and they don't realize that it's God's goodness, and so they quit. That's verse 4. And the reason they don't know that they're doing the right thing is because nobody's there to teach them. And the answer to both of those questions are, God isn't putting anything down on paper for anybody right now at all. A lost person, he's going to be judged in the white stone judgment. And to a Christian, your works are going to be judged in the great, as the judgment seat of Christ. So anyway, that's all this morning stuff. And then for people to think that God is a morbid God to kill all these people, Romans chapter 3, verse 6, and how shall God judge the world? And he takes care of that question. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Romans 14. Hast thou faith? Good question. Do you have faith? You don't have it. It's between you and God, not between me and you, buddy. Anyway. So then we went to Galatians. And the first part of the Galatians question was this. Galatians chapter 1. And it says, do I persuade men or God? That's a good question. Why do we do what we do? And who do we do it for? And the question that Paul deals with is in the book of Galatians are people that want to stick to the law. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another. So the question here that we're going to look into, we're going to look at that main question, are we doing this for men or for God? And why did you quit? Where'd you go? And why would you do that? And these are questions that Paul would ask these guys. You know, when somebody comes up to you and says, well, I quit. I'm tired of this church scene. And you know, the church scene is tireable. I know so many churches that have tried and they're just worthless. Living out here in the Midwest now, these are nice people. These are just good, simple, clean, you know, pretty modest church people going to church, conservative people. In fact, some of these people I hear of are nicer than any King James guy I'll know anywhere. But they're wrong. And I'll go to hell because of it. It's really, really a tough position to be in when you think about it. So, you come up to one of these guys, they say, you know what, I don't want to do the Paul thing. I'm going to go back to the Gospels. That's the Old Testament law. Then you got to explain to them that's the Old Testament law, blah, blah, blah. Why would you go back to the old stuff? What's the point? So we're going to go through Galatians. I've got some questions in Galatians, just a few of them. Then now it's our turn to ask the question. And the first ones you did in Romans, the questions were being asked of Paul. Most of those were questions being asked of Paul. Now we're going to turn the tables and we're going to ask somebody else who removed themselves from Paul's teachings of the risen Savior. Okay, does that make sense? So let's go right to Galatians chapter 3. And, lost John. How long has that been gone, anyway? Galatians chapter 3 starts right off in verse 1. O foolish Galatians. Now, right away, he starts off by whacking them because in their teachings, Matthew, look at Matthew chapter 5. I mean, Paul slaps them right off the bat. Matthew chapter 5. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So in Jesus' teachings, during the gospel days, call anybody a fool, you can go to hell for that. There's a difference right there. If you're going to follow the gospels, do you believe that calling somebody a fool can send you to hell? Well, no, I don't. Well, why don't you? It says that in your book, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Well, I just don't believe that one. That doesn't work. You can't pick and choose, but anyway. So Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now during that day, some of these people saw that take place. And we're going to be talking with people who had a Bible, had a King James Bible. They believed it to be the King James Bible. They believed it to be the Word of God. And someday, they're not going to. Okay, Oh, foolish person that you are. What happened? Who bewitched you? What are you doing dressing like you're dressing now? What are you doing going to these places now? What are you doing changing your music? What are you doing? What happened? And you had you whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth, you've seen it with your Bible. You've seen it work. How'd that happen to you? Then he asked the same part of the question in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. This only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you get all this other stuff in your earlier years because of faith? Then how come all of a sudden we're kicking in this flesh thing to make it perfect? If not, you're quitting. Same thing in verse 3. Are ye so foolish? There it is again. He's calling them foolish. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Why are you going back to the ways of the flesh? What's going on here? Now look at 1 Timothy 6:9. 1 Timothy 6:9 tells us why some people get foolish. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts. There's that foolish. So, what's going on here? People are quitting because of money. That's like the bottom line here. We're going to find out that people are going to give up to this stuff because of money. The love of money and the foolishness that they're going to fall themselves into. So, there's a whole little mini sermon in there right there. And this is what's happening to people. Let's go down to chapter 4. Let's look at another question Paul asked these people that quit. Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, I'll turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements. Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Okay, here's another question we're going to ask somebody who leaves the roost, quits, or doesn't want Paul's ways and wants to stick with the Great Commission, the Gospels and the Peter and James, all this kind of stuff. Look at chapter 5 of Galatians, chapter 5 of Galatians. Why does anybody want to go back to the weak and beggarly elements? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh. You know the world flesh stuff? Works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, sexual lusting, idolatry, witchcraft, which is rebellion, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, there's that loud party Christian bunch, and such like. So why do we want to go back to that? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Not only not have fellowship with them, we're supposed to reprove them. We have a hard enough time not going to something, let alone telling somebody why we're not. Well, I don't like that kind of music or something. We come up with some wishy-washy little shoes and socks kind of an answer. We don't tell them that it doesn't please God. You just don't want to get into it. So, but that's us there. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 1, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This was us beforehand. Time passed, you walked according to the course of this world, to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conversation times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So why do we want to go back to that? That's what Paul says in Galatians 4 again. After that ye have known God, I mean, you've been given a King James Bible, you've had the joys of the doctrinal stuff of Paul, the forgiveness, the lack of imputation, you know, all things are lawful, but you learn how to do the right judgments on stuff. Why do you want to go back to the old ways of the lost, the weak and beggarly elements? Why do you want to go back under bondage again? Okay, let's do another one. Galatians 4:15. This is to somebody who's quitting or doesn't want Paul's way and wants to stick to the Gospels. Here's one. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Galatians 4:15. Okay, that's a good question. There was one time you thought what I was doing was marvelous. Now how come all of a sudden, he says in the next verse, am I become your enemy? How did that happen? Then if you want, you go down to the next verse. no, not yet. Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? At one time, they spoke of your blessedness to them, how much you've helped them. Tables turn quickly. Now, you know the verse in 2 Corinthians 12:15. 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will very gladly spend to be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. We know that one, don't we? How about 2 Corinthians 2:4? For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you and with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. He cried over his people. And how come all of a sudden they're saying that he's no good? He's their enemy. What happened there? Well, it's very possible the pastor changed and he got into some new stuff and it's not right. But it's also very possible that the pastor got into some right stuff and you just don't want to hear it. And the reason he tells you that you're not dressed modestly, the reason he tells you that you shouldn't be laughing like that, the reason he tells you shouldn't be talking like that, the reason he tells you shouldn't be doing that kind of music, the reason he tells you to teach your kids da-da-da-da, is because they care for you. He loves you. The way a pastor can. But, like everybody, they end up calling you their enemy, and then you're done. These are questions to ask these people that want to stick with the Gospels. Why do they want to stick with the Gospels when the marvelous stuff was with Paul in the risen Savior? Here's another one. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Galatians 4, verse 21 here. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? That's a marvelous question. The people that don't want to follow Paul. And they want to follow the law. They want to do the holy and devout stuff that the women follow in Paul's day. They want to follow the Beatitudes and that kind of stuff. So they really want to follow the Old Testament law. And he says, tell me, ye that desire under the law. Have you read this stuff? Do you hear the law? Have you read it? You looked it up? How about the Ten Commandments? Oh, by the way, now we got some new folks on there tonight. We do know that the law in the Old Testament was to the Jews only. It wasn't to the Gentiles. Gentiles had followed by their conscience. I still am amazed at that thought. Think about it. But anyway, how many people that think they're following the law know what the law says? Or somebody who thinks that they need to walk the walk still, and yet they don't realize that there's things in the book of Leviticus. There's things in Leviticus that we do today like it's just common. It's just no big deal. I mean, it's considered modest and everything, but do we even know what Leviticus says? If you're going to follow the law, why don't you follow the whole thing? You know? But they don't. Do you hear what you're supposed to follow? Okay. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. These are just questions to ask these people that don't want to do it. They don't want to get into Paul. Ask them. Ask them what? What made you change your mind? Why would you want to go back the way it was before you got saved? What's the deal here? Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? tell me, you that desire to bend to the law, do you not hear the law? You know, I mean, you don't want to follow Paul, you want to follow the Gospels? Have you read the Gospels? Do you know what you're supposed to do to follow Jesus? You're supposed to give up everything you got. Haven't you read that? Anyway. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, this would be the one that would be really hard for me as a person, as a pastor kind of a person. You did run well. This would be really hard to talk to somebody who did a really good job as a Christian woman, Christian man, take your pick, got into the Paul thing, straightened out his music, you know, and all this stuff, really got excited about stuff. And yet, the second half of that verse, he did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who got in your life that made you change? You were doing so well. Was it a minister of righteousness? Some local pastor that you had no choice to go to but this wishy-washy nice guy? And before you know it, you're following their train of love and forbearance. Toleration, tolerant of everybody. Was it a preacher guy that came through with flattery words? I mean, who is it that made you not obey the truth anymore, which would be Paul's writings? What happened? Boy, I'd hate to go back sometime and find out what some people are doing. I'd hate to have to find out some of you folks out there that you finally kind of quit showing up and before you know it, you're doing something totally different. And you were doing so well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? How about just a friend? And if you don't forsake Paul a little bit, you don't have a friend anymore. How about the stores? How about the fashion world? The fashion world hinders you from being modest, ladies, because you can hardly find this stuff anymore. So see, there's outside sources that cause you to not obey the truth, causes you to slip back and be hindered. How about pleasure? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We have the liberty. All things are lawful. Ah, but not all things are idiot. Yeah, that kind of thing. How about a boss? Would a boss hinder you? Oh, yeah, he could. But that's life if you have to work out in the workforce. What are you ladies doing out there? Because you shouldn't be out there working. You have kids that take care of it at the home. So don't let that fashion world and the modern world take you away from what you know is to be true. How about loneliness? Loneliness can hinder you that you should not obey the truth. Because if you stick with Paul, you're going to be lonely. And you don't want to be lonely. So before you know it, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing because you don't want to be lonely. So the fear of being lonely could cause you to not obey the truth. How about a wife? What do you do when your wife doesn't want to follow the Paul stuff that you're teaching and preaching? How about your kids? What if it's a lady that understands it, but the man doesn't? She wants to follow her man, but it's hard because he's not leading down the godly path of what Paul would teach. How do you do that? What are you going to teach your kids? So who is it that's hindering us in our growth? Maybe it's ourselves. Maybe it's some cute guy out there or some pretty little chick or something that you want to get together with, and you got to throw up Paul to do that. Is it worth it then? Loneliness is pretty scary. Pretty scary. Anyway, I mean, not bad for I didn't hardly cough at this thing, right? But there's your questions out of Galatians. See, Paul puts the tables back on these guys that are quitting. Paul puts the tables back on the people that don't want to follow him. He calls them fools. Why do you want to go back to the old way of life? Part of the reason why people are willing to go back to the old way of life because they never changed in the first place. They're comfortable in the old ways. We can break the elements. And I become their enemy. You become their enemy because you tell them the truth. People that want to follow the law, but they've never read the law. The most, the most moronic man in the world. Wouldn't want to follow the law if you'd ever read it. Who hindered you? Who is it that hindered you to stay straight? Just stick with Paul. Who got you? What, your father? Your mother? Your own kids? Tough stuff. So those are questions from Paul back to the quitters. And this morning the questions are to the people out there that don't believe, asking us questions. And Paul has the answers right there in the book. So you don't need some fancy orator to answer the questions. Just show them what the Bible says. So I've stored up about 30 minutes worth of coughing. I'll get you back and get back and do some coughing here. So glad you guys made it through this thing, and I'll be well one of these days. By the way, Wednesday night I will not be here, Mark. Wednesday I go see the nerve, what do you call him, neurosurgeon, the nerve surgeon guy. So, neurologist, there we go. And I got to see a dentist, I guess. Had a tooth break, I think, and that's what's causing my tongue to rub raw over that sharp corner of the tooth in the back. I'll say my tongue hurts. Plus some other little sores. I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old and dying. Who knows? It's a slow death. Because you get to listen to it anyway. So, good night. Goodbye. I'll try to get this stuff up before next week.